CPA After Dark.
What's going on, guys, and welcome back to CPA After Dark. I'm your host, Kristen, and I'm with my beautiful CPA, Marit.
Hi, guys.
So today we're going to talk about a rental real estate. And I did a reel not too long ago where I said you don't have to be good at Airbnb to make money on Airbnb. And it is so true. And I realized that that could be like the most confusing statement, but we're going to dive into it and teach you why it's not necessarily the cash flow, which is fun. I'm not going to lie. Yes, you want to make money. Of course you want to make money. I'd be lying if I told you that we didn't want to make money, but it's not all about the cash that comes in that makes real estate so sexy.
That's so true. And I mean, I hate to say it, but the U.S. tax code was built to incentivize small business owners and real estate investors. That's just how it is. You know, small business owners and real estate investors, they boost the economy. They provide jobs. They provide, you know,
housing,
buildings for people to live in, work in, exactly, housing. And so being a real estate investor, just there's so many great tax benefits. There's so many great things. And I think the very first one that we can talk about is the fact that you are investing your money into something that is consistently, almost always appreciating. And unlike a stock where it can fluctuate, it can go up and down, it can be taken away from you, it's a tangible asset and it's yours. And so that's such a real estate is such a great thing to invest in. I know I love it. I know Kristen loves it.
Yeah. I mean, even like this past year, we bought, I mean, we've talked about it on my channel. We bought an Airbnb and I mean, just case in point for appreciation, we bought the house for around $600,000 and it appraised for over $700,000 with our first appraisal. So right there, we're in a huge amount of equity without even paying our first mortgage payment, which is amazing. So like appreciation is a huge thing. And yes, it's on paper. It's a paper gain. You don't really get to realize that gain until you make a sale on the property. But man, it looks really nice on paper when you're realizing how your investment is growing right in front of your eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I love it too, because it's something that can't be taken away from you. And it's just like with a stock, you also are not going to really realize that gain until you sell it. But with that, it goes so up and it goes so down and it's just so inconsistent, where I personally like having those tangible assets that you have no matter what happens, you know, in the outside world. It feels very safe to me. It's not the most liquid thing. It's not so easy to go out and sell a house right away, but it's just a really nice, like, comforting thing knowing that it's just there and it's yours and no one can take it away from you if, you know, you're doing all the right things to keep it. And so with that being said, you know, the second thing would be the fact that you get that mortgage reduction. You're having your tenants or your short-term renters paying your mortgage. They are paying for your asset, which is just, I mean, hello, it's a win-win. You invest the initial amount and then they're going to just help you pay it down and there is not that money out of your pocket, which I love.
Yeah. And if I can give anybody advice on this, study the market that you're looking to purchase a property. Like me and Chris studied our area and like, yeah, I'm in Myrtle Beach and it is booming. Even when everything starts to kind of fluctuate, Myrtle Beach is still building homes and it is very easy, knock on wood, it is very easy to find a renter. We've never been in a situation where we have long-term rentals and we have a short-term rental, and we've never been in a situation where we have to physically come out of pocket for our mortgages. So if I'm, you know, when you have multiple homes that you're renting out, typically if you are vacant for a period of time, the ideal situation is to have the other homes be able to balance that mortgage as well. So me and Chris have never actually come out of pocket, which is a wonderful feeling. So once you get into purchasing more properties and being comfortable with the fact that the area that you've purchased a property to rent, whether it be long-term or short-term, make sure that's a viable area. And that if you're, you know, renting a house for a long-term rental, that it's in a good area. The schools are good. People are going to want to move into that area and rent the home that you've purchased. So do your homework ahead of making a purchase, and contact a really good realtor because realtors know the areas as well.
Yeah. That take notes, everyone. You want to invest in what you know, for sure. You always want to invest in what you know. You need to realize that really rental real estate is a business. You need to look at it like it's a business. You know, it's like you want to be actively involved in it in terms of building your portfolio. Like she said, the more you can diversify and spread it out and have assets to offset each other, then, you know, you reduce your risk. But with all investments, there is a risk. So that's why, you know, I love that advice that you said to really do your homework before you buy. And really, you know, you are making a big investment. You are taking a risk, but it can be such a great one if you do it the right way.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell us, Kristen, what the next one is, Miss Tax Collector.
Tax benefits. Oh my gosh, this is my favorite. There are so many tax benefits to purchasing properties and renting them out. And we took a huge one this year, not to get too into depth with it, but we actually used the cost segregation strategy, which you can use on short-term rentals, which gives you the biggest bang for your buck in as a depreciation standpoint. So the tax benefits are amazing for rental real estate. And you don't get tax benefits from buying in the stock market. You get it in real estate, not stocks.
That's true. You know, like we said at the very beginning, the U.S. tax code is meant to incentivize people with real estate. And so you can take certain strategies. You have to know what you're doing. You can't just, you know, haphazardly take them. There's certain, you know, limitations on if you have a long-term rental and the kind of loss it is. And, you know, there's AGI limitations. Make sure, just like you pick a good real estate person to help you find your property, pick a good tax professional that's going to guide you through and help you really benefit, because there's so many strategies and they're based on so many different things. But yeah, there's that short-term rental with the cost seg, which is so great right now. Again, got to be super disciplined, but we know that Kristen obviously is. I always say she's like a CPA dream child. Like she's got it together. But yeah, the tax benefits are so great. And I mean, you can show these paper losses, so you can get all this income in and that's covering your mortgage and it's covering, you know, what you have to pay for the utilities. It's covering all of your basic expenses. And without the depreciation, you would have this loss to pay tax, or this gain to pay tax on. And the depreciation could just swoop right in and take it all away. And so the paper loss, but then you're still getting your asset paid for, which is the best.
Yeah, that's the best. I love it. So the best.
Right. And then the final one, I'll take this one since I already talked about it a little bit more. And that was how I said, treat it like it's a business. You really can continue to, if you treat it like it's a business, and you know, it doesn't have to be your business, but you have that active participation. You're actively participating in it. You can start writing off your mileage as you go to your rental to clean it or fix up things. You know, you can write off the portion of your cell phone that you use to make sure that you're, especially with a short-term rental, I mean, you're having renters coming in and out. You're having to communicate with them. You're having to let them know their check-in time. And if, you know, all of a sudden they say the hot tub's not working or the Wi-Fi isn't working. So, I mean, you're using your phone, you're using your internet, you're using all of your personal, again, it's that whole thing of if you can convert some of your expenses you were already paying before into actual expenses to reduce your rental income, it's great. So I love the whole cash flow. And then, of course, being able to, in certain situations, especially when you have a diverse portfolio, some people live off the money that they make off of their rentals. And I know that's kind of like something people argue about. You're supposed to save any profit in case you need to replace the roof or in case there's an accident. And I mean, you can. There's also a certain point where people just live off the money they're making from their rentals.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, that is... it's a beautiful retirement strategy to have, you know, a portfolio that is, you know, well-structured and smooth sailing, if you will, and you can live off of that income. That's wonderful. And then you also have, you know, your 401ks and your IRAs and all that stuff coming in too. But to have income when you're retired, especially, that's amazing. And you're not really doing, especially if it's a long-term rental, there's not really too much that you have to do as far as, you know, getting your hands dirty. Like you said, with a short-term rental, there's a lot more. We are constantly working on that house. But the long-term rentals are pretty sufficient on their own. Like, they're pretty good. We don't have to do a whole bunch of stuff. So depending on what kind of portfolio you have, keeping it diverse definitely helps with from an income standpoint.
Yeah, and don't we all want that passive income? Yeah. Oh, I love it. Passive yes. income. Give me the money, and I don't want to have to do too
yeah.
much. So hopefully we've talked you guys into rental real estate. My mentor, he says he tells his clients to buy one rental a year. And I know that seems just like blow your mind, just out of this world. You couldn't ever get there. But, you know, anything that you can start yeah. with and then continue to build your portfolio, as long as you're willing to, you know, take the risk, take the responsibility, you know, you want the benefits. It's not, even though it's passive, you still have to do some things to get it. Rental real estate's the way to go. I love it.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, you guys know I outspokenly love this. It has become...
You do. You're amazing.
It started as like, let's try and do this. And I'll make this quick, but it is very scary when you're purchasing a property that you're not going to live in and you're giving it to somebody else to take care of. And you just hope that they're going to love it and nurture it the way that you would. They're not gonna. I promise you that they're not going to love your property as much as you do. But when you buy your first property, it's not personal. And every property thereafter, it is a business purchase. It is not a personal purchase. So when you go in and you buy your first rental property, buy it because it monetarily works for you. Rent it out. And appreciate, depreciate, cash flow, do all the things we talked about and enjoy the asset that you purchased because that is what it is. I hope that makes sense.
I love that. That's good advice for me too because I haven't gotten to that level yet, but I totally am very close to getting there.
Oh, girl, I will walk you through it. You know, I love it.
I can't wait. And I'm also, I tend to get emotionally tied to things. You know, we've talked about making the home we live in now a rental because it's right next to a school.
It's
right
perfect.
Next to a church. It's right next to multiple schools. It's walking distance to restaurants and nice grocery stores. And we're like, this is the perfect rental home. And I think, but it's my little house. And like, we fixed it up and I love it so much. So I'm going to need you to help
yeah.
me. Emotionally, you have to emotionally and detach. Go into that love of money. Yeah, love the money more than the memories, I guess.
Yeah, well, you'll make new memories in a new house. A better house.
Yeah, for sure.
Better house for you and your family.
Rental portfolio, here I come.
Here she comes. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of CPA After Dark. Make sure you are subscribing to the channel for so much more tips and tricks and strategies from me and Marit. And we will see you guys next time.